You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com worldwide. Freedom is never free. We need your support today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Roll away the dawn. Roll away the dawn and let me see the land of the free. Has anything changed at all? Sweet liberty, sweet liberty is in our land. It's part of the plan, or is it a state of mind? Never forget!
You're listening to Jackie Patru and Sweet Liberty. And now, here's your host, Jackie Patru.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for joining us tonight on Sweet Liberty. Today is Tuesday. And it is the 16th of November in the year 2004. And I appreciate your being with us again tonight, folks. We're going to do I apologize for this, whatever problem it is I'm having. Our spiritual message this evening is the same as last evening, and this is from John 18 at verse 37, when Jesus was talking to Pontius Pilate, and Pilate asked him, "Are you a king then?" And Jesus answered, saying, "You say that I'm a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." I think that's pretty cut and dry, don't you think, folks? To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. I think I shared with you last night a dialogue that I had with what did they call themselves? Israel Identity, Christian minister, I believe. And he puts out stuff that isn't, that promulgates lies. And what he said to me, the reason that he does it is that his listeners and readers can think for themselves. Well, then why put out a lie? Then why do it? And why would you call yourself a Christian minister if the purpose for your being what you are, or call yourself a Christian, if your purpose for being what you are is not to bear witness unto the truth? We all make mistakes, but to intentionally put out misleading information, I think it's a crime. I think it's a crime against man. By the way, okay, first of all, let me back up here. I've been keeping track of as much as possible, without spending hours and hours at it, what's happening in Ohio, and it appears that the Green Party has raised, at least at this point in time, $150,000, and that they intend to call for a recount, a total recount. And And I get this email from somebody. It's called North Point Summit. And I don't know the individual that writes it, but it's always excellent, excellent stuff. And they've been sending out information on this. And here's one little tidbit I pulled up for you folks. This is on the... Now, if you happen to be a new listener, we've been keeping track of this because Ohio was the swing state. And with the outstanding provisional votes that had not been counted, if the majority of them went to Bob Kerry, John Kerry, excuse me, Bush is not the president. And, you know, it just seems that it's across the board that people at least who are keeping themselves informed are pretty clear that G.W. Bush did not win the election. And it isn't that I think that one or the other would be better than the other. It is the principle at stake here, isn't it, folks? It's the total sham of this so-called election process in the good old United States, the land of the free and the home of the brave. And listen to this. LKB found another 13,763 more votes in Cuyahoga County. To my friends at NS7, I don't know what this is, means. It says, I checked the Cuyahoga County BOE site. Evidently, this is an official site, county site. I checked it this morning, as you suggested, and found another 13,763 mysterious additional votes cast in Cuyahoga County. Highland Hills Village. Listen to this, folks. 760 registered voters, 8,822 votes cast. Oakwood Village, 2,746 registered, 2,746 people registered, 7,099 votes cast. Pepper Pike, 513 registered, 6,479 cast. Either Cuyahoga County has a major fraud on their hands, or their election workers need to take a remedial basic math course. An editor's note says, we confirm your figures. When we went through the list, we just picked a few that really stuck out. I fully agree with your summation on the issue. I just took an excerpt and printed it out on that. Here's another quick one, folks. This is from the Cleveland Plain Dealer. By the way, this was, it's been quite a few years ago. In fact, it was probably back in 98, because I believe at the time we were still on at 6 p.m. There was a, the UCL, the, U, no, U, ACLU, excuse me. I always I want to call it the UCLA. The ACLU, along with a Lutheran minister, had filed a court. This is in Ohio. It just popped in my memory banks, or out of my memory banks. And I don't know if some of you may not be aware of this, but the state motto in Ohio is, with God, all things are possible. And it was a Lutheran minister in cahoots with the communist Talmudic Jewish ACLU that filed a court thing and that wanted to get rid of the state motto because it could be upsetting or insulting to certain people. Well, it didn't go through anyway. With God, all things are possible. Anyway, this is, here we are in Ohio again. This is from the Cleveland Plain Dealer. Ohio voters tell of Election Day troubles at hearing. Sunday, the 14th of November. Tales of waiting more than 5 hours to vote. Voter intimidation. Undertrained polling station workers. And too few or broken voting machines. Largely in urban or heavily minority areas. Were retold Saturday by a public hearing organized by voter rights groups. For 3 hours, burdened voters, one after another, offered sworn testimony about Election Day voter suppression and irregularities that they believe are threatening democracy. Democracy, don't you hate that word? That's a strong word too, isn't it? Hate, I shouldn't use it. The hearing sponsored by the Election Protection Coalition was to collect testimony of voting troubles that might be used to seek legislative changes to Ohio's election process. The organizers chose Ohio because it was a swing state in the presidential election, as well as the site of numerous claims of election fraud and voter disenfranchisement. You know what? There is a website right now, folks. In fact, I sent it over to our state reps just so that they could see it. 1,100 already reported, not just in Ohio, but around the country, voting fraud irregularities. And we must admit that either Kerry or Bush, you know, this whole thing, again, has probably been orchestrated. It didn't just happen. You do know that, don't you, folks? And even the time that I'm spending on it is what they want us to do. I guess we're just supposed to roll over and play dead. They get us in these catch-22s. They, referring to the, quote, creatures, the unseen hand that has been messing in this world, it seems, since time immemorial. And they aren't messing around just for jokes, just for kicks and grins. Their plan is to gain total control, total absolute dominion over this physical realm. And everything that breathes, everything in the air and beneath the seas and on land, controlling the water, the food we eat, the air we breathe, and controlling the minds, and probably therefore the gaining control, or maybe not gaining control, but entrapping the souls of hundreds of millions of people living in this third dimensional physical realm at the present time. And it is important. I'll go on with this article. It isn't a long one. This is quoting one of the hearings coordinators, Amy Kaplan. I think a lot of us had a sense that something had deeply went wrong on November 2nd, and it had to do with the election process and procedures in place that were unacceptable. Kaplan said that the hearing gave everyday citizens a chance to have their concerns placed into public record. Both a written and video report on the hearing will be provided to anyone who wants a copy, especially state lawmakers who are considering mandating Election Day changes, Kaplan said. That name gives me the uneasiness. Many of the voters who testified were clearly Democrats who wonder if their losing presidential candidate, Senator John Kerry, was able to draw all the votes that were intended for him. I call on Senator Kerry to unconcede until there is a full count of the votes, said Werner Lang of Trumbull County, who claimed that polling places in his Northeast Ohio neighborhood had half the number of voting machines that were needed. This caused a bottleneck at polling stations, and many people left without voting, he said. Others said they were testifying not on political grounds, but out of concern for a suspicious election system that should be above reproach. Henry Wasserman of Bexley said he tried to vote absentee with the same home address he has used for 18 years, but was told he couldn't because his absentee application had the wrong address. But the notice telling me I had the wrong address arrived at the right address, he said. I wonder how many of these absentee ballots were rejected for no good reason. My concern is not of the outcome of the election, he said, but that this could go on and an election could be stolen, and we simply can't have that in a democracy. Don't be surprised if sometime before Christmas we all are informed that George W. Bush really isn't the president. And we must remember that, as I was saying and probably didn't finish, it matters not. They are third cousins. They are chosen by the elite. And we think we have a choice. People think that they have a choice. And they're both, of course, Skull and Bones brothers, besides being third cousins. And according to the guy that does the family, royal family trees in England, John Kerry has more royal blood than any president before him. And folks, every single president, from my understanding, I shouldn't say this. Okay, let me see if I can rephrase it. I have read, and I have not checked it out, that every single president elected has had royal blood. Would that mean John F. Kennedy had royal blood too? Well, his family was from Ireland, weren't they? Whatever. I don't know if that's true, but we know that at least most of them, even Bill Clinton, even if they're bastards, it doesn't really matter. It's the bloodline itself. All right. Last night, I was reading to you a report about the hoax of this so-called peak oil. We're going to continue with this tonight. I want to remind you once again, though, what really initiated this, because I've been wanting to do it. A wonderful lady who sends out good information, great information. I did send back, by the way, and told her that Michael Rupert is a phony, part of the controlled opposition, because she's reading a book and recommends it, and his book is called Crossing the Rubicon, The Decline of the American Empire at the Age of Oil by Michael C. Rupert. He's got a website, Cop the CIA. He's allegedly a former cop versus the CIA, I guess. I don't know. From the Wilderness is the newsletter he puts out. It says that the book is a detective story that gets to the innermost core of the 911 attacks. It places 911 at the center of a desperate new America created by specific named individuals in preparation for peak oil, an economic crisis like nothing the world has ever seen. And then basically that the attacks of September 11, 2001 were accomplished through an amazing orchestration of logistics and personnel. This book discovers and identifies key suspects and persons of interest, finding some of them in the very highest, I put that word very in there, highest echelons of American government by showing how they acted in concert to guarantee that the attacks occurred and produced the desired results. So what Rupert is doing is he's saying that the reason for the war in Iraq is because of we're at peak oil, and they did it to get the oil. Folks, it's all about control. Keep that in your mind. That's what 911 was about. And the war, the ensuing never-ending war. And what we were reading about last night was the Shell Oil in Bakersfield. Oh, no, not, I guess it wasn't Shell Oil, was it? In Bakersfield, how they were shutting down their refinery, and that this, we're on peak oil, and that it sets on a vast sea of oil, and it's shutting down, and it's shutting down in the face of triple profits over last year. And this isn't the way these multinational companies work, is it? I guess it is Shell Oil. It says, can any of you peak oil boosters out there think of any legitimate reason why a purely profit-driven corporation would acquire an outrageously profitable asset and then proceed to deliberately destroy that asset? Because I have to tell you, I've been struggling to come up with an explanation on my own, and the only one I've got so far is that the corporation might be involved in some kind of conspiracy to manufacture an artificial shortage of a crucial commodity. I know that peak oil theory holds that we don't need the refinery capacity because, you know, we're running out of oil and all. But that doesn't explain why a tremendously profitable refinery isn't being kept in operation, at least until all the local wells have run dry, does it? Shell will, by the way, continue to operate its Martinez, California refinery, for now at least. The Martinez facility is also wildly profitable, showing a net profit of $34 million in May alone. That tidy profit was, as it turns out, just shy of Shell's profit expectations of Martinez for all of 2004. Why wouldn't they have the profits? Look at the price of gas, folks. Look at the price of gas today. Strangely enough, the Martinez facility, like the one in Bakersfield, cut crude processing in July by nearly 10%, a reduction attributed to planned heavy maintenance. It's always a good idea to schedule heavy maintenance work during times of peak energy demand. That's the kind of intelligent business decisions we would expect from a corporate giant with decades of experience in the energy business. On July 8th, the LA Times, armed with yet more internal company documents and an unnamed company whistleblower, revised the story of the Bakersfield refinery. As of July 1st, it was discovered Shell had reduced crude oil processing at the refinery to levels 19% below capacity, creating a shortage, more than triple the unexplained reduction that had been planned for the facility. According to both company documents and the unnamed employee, quote, there were no problems with the plant's equipment, and no other explanation was offered for the radical reduction in processing, undoubtedly, because there is no legitimate reason for the decreased output. So obvious is the company's intent to artificially tighten gasoline and diesel supplies that the FTC was obliged, for the sake of appearances, to step in and pretend to launch an investigation. Shell's response to the investigation has been to delay the closing of the refinery for a few months while it goes through the motions of pretending to find a buyer. In completely unrelated news, July 31st, LA Times report announced that profit at Chevron Texaco Corporation more than doubled during the second quarter. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, Jackie. This is Fritz.
Hey, Fritz. How are you?
Fine. Question, Jackie. When will the people finally wake up in the U.S. and realize they're no longer living in a country called America? I mean, what point does the illusion... Of course, you knew about what was going on long before anyone else did.
No, I didn't, Fritz. Honey, I didn't wake up till 1991.
Well, 1991... Well, it's a process for all of us to learn what's going on. And the battle may have been fought already. I think a lot of people back in Europe realized what was going on. And that they were really fighting a battle against communism and gangsterism in the form of the U.S. government, where the mafia and the government all works together. That's all controlled by certain hidden forces. But what's it going to take to make the American people wake up? I heard tonight that the Boy Scouts have been banned.
Yeah, banned from where?
From all military bases.
Well, because they won't accept homosexuals, probably.
Well, it's because they have God in their oath.
Oh,
That's how the ACLU get them banned.
I see. Well, they also refused some time ago, Fritz, to accept, or when they found out that there was a homosexual scout leader, that they ejected him, and the ACLU got involved with that. And
Now, let me see if I get this straight. That they can, and they have women on board ship. They can have get pregnant and get discharged from the military while they're on board ship. That's true, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess.
You can have Muslim chaplains on board a military base. You can have a Muslim, and you can have a Wicca chaplain.
Wicca? Really?
Yeah, they have Wicca chaplains on a lot of army bases, but you can't have the Boy Scouts, people. And you blame Jackie for being an extremist. It's because you haven't found out what they found out back in the 30s about who is running your country into the ground.
Now, Fritz, who calls Jackie an extremist, darling?
Well, it's pretty obvious. He made some statements and he went off the air immediately.
You mean tonight?
Oh, no, this was a while back.
Oh, okay. So, were you asking me what's it going to take?
What's it going to take? And the people you rescued back in the Second World War, it's like you've turned to a physician, and this physician is giving you poison, America. That's nonsense about the Holocaust. And how are they going to straighten everything? Have you seen our latest Secretary of State? I like to call her the Secretary of Snakes.
You know what they're calling her?
What?
Well, this is pretty derogatory, but they're calling her Congo Lisa.
Well, that's often wonder where, in, if you traced her ancestors back, I'm not taking back away anything away from Africans, but with two generations before, she probably was, had that kind of background.
Yeah.
Taking anything away from her.
Fred, I'm glad you brought this up because, see, I've wondered now. First there was John Ashcroft who resigned. And the commissioner, the Commerce Commissioner,
right,
a real close friend of Bush's, and now Colin Powell, has resigned, along with Richard Armitage, his Assistant Secretary of State.
Well, Powell, you remember, said on camera, he was on Face the Nation, and he said that he had been misled, deliberately misled about WMDs. And they tried to yank him off the show. Do you remember this?
Nope.
There was a one of his handlers there, a woman named Kaplan or something, physically took the camera, and Powell said, wait a minute, so leave me on camera. So his Israeli handlers had to yank him off the... And Bush is just a front man.
Yeah, but Colin Powell, he's part of the elite. He's part of the whole game, Fritz.
And all you people that think Bush is such a great patriotic fellow and
he's a born again.
Yeah, eliminates our southern border and swamps us with illegal immigration. I want you to know that in his new cabinet, there will not be one single white Anglo-Saxon Protestant. The people that founded this country and made it great are disappearing. And what it is now is just it's like a mirror image of the U.S.
It's all planned that way, hasn't it been?
Of course it is.
Fritz, and you know, that's been some time ago, but such a heartbreaking thing to realize and to grasp it and then accept it, that America, right off the get-go, truly was founded to do exactly what it's doing today.
Yeah, you can't get a good plant from bad seeds.
Yeah, you want to...
Bad seeds are the illuminous were there in the beginning.
Yeah, we have to take this 60-second break. You want to hold on, Fritz?
That was it.
Okay.
FirstAmendmentRadio.com to find out first, and on satellite at Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70.
Roll away the dark.
You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the Internet at firstamendmentradio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Be sure to visit the sweetliberty.org website. Thank you for your continued support. And stay tuned to firstamendmentradio.com.
Okay, we're back on. Fritz is on with us, folks.
Well, we said that you couldn't get a good plant from bad seed, and the seeds were bad. They're saying, now, well, what's he saying now, that the American government is no good? He's no patriotic. He's a left-winger and a communist.
I don't think most of the Sweet Liberty listeners are thinking that.
Well, if there are any of them out there, okay, those in the know that the government from the beginning was an illuminist government. The party that calls itself the Republican Party was the party of the French Revolution. It's the one that took all those blonde-haired aristocrats and French scientists and all the best people in France and delivered them to the guillotine. And that was the Republican Party.
Do you know what Gary Robinson told us?
What?
That the Communist Party, whatever you call their papers, their mission statement and everything, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
What would you call that? Anyway, whatever, it's based right on the Republican Party.
Of course it was. The Republican Party at one time came out of the French communes in Paris. They were called Republicans as opposed to the monarchists. They changed their name in 1856. So the government that you have is essentially a revolutionary government. You have left wing and you have a far left wing, which is the Democrats. And they're all working for the same thing, globalism. And that's why you don't have a single really true American in Bush's cabinet. So.
Yeah.
And all the symbols are the same. The symbols that we use in the U.S., the Statue of Liberty, were taken. They also had a Statue of Liberty in the French Revolution. And if you did not kneel down to it and swear allegiance to it, you were executed.
Is that right?
They killed over 4,000 priests in 3 days in the city of Paris. So you remember in the old propaganda movies and the Germans during the Second World War, what they say?
What?
They say, lies, lies, all lies. And guess what, folks? It is all lies. Your history has been distorted. It's a complete inversion and whitewash of the truth.
Yeah.
And you think that you have this wonderful democratic system and your freedoms are just going down the drain.
Yeah. Well, that even to say democratic system, I mean, that's mob rule in the first place.
Democratic system is communist, the same thing that they did in the Soviet Union is what they're preparing to do here. The same people, the Jews ran the Soviet Revolution, the Jews run the ACLU, and they use this as a vehicle. They control the government through the Masonic lodges. And this is not an extreme conspiracy theory. You go and look at the Catholic documents. You look at all the Catholic encyclicals, the letters that they wrote to the congregations. They say the governments of the West, the liberal democracies, and that means the government of the U.S., the government of Britain, the government of France, are controlled by secret societies. All right. This is not, unless you're prepared to call the entire Catholic Church a conspiracy theorist. Now, I'll tell you one thing else. One out of every three of our neighbors, 33% of the population of the U.S., belong to one of those secret organizations, either the Masons or the Knights of Pythias or Knights of Columbus or what have you.
Yes.
So the next time someone says that you're a conspiracy theorist, you turn right around and say, you're probably a member of the conspiracy.
Yeah. Hey, Fritz.
Yeah.
Have you read Jewish Persecution?
I've read parts of it.
Okay.
It's excellent. Obviously, the work of the brilliant mind.
The credit for that, but have you read Section 12?
That I believe, is one section of Hebrew.
Okay, because that's the one that was blowing me away while I was writing it, and that's when I realized that even the revolution here, as these, back all those years ago when we believed that we gained our freedom from Great Britain, that revolution was fomented by the same creatures.
Yes, it was.
Who fomented every revolution that's been had.
It turned our revolution, which was the Masonic revolution, if it's so good that it's Masonic, why is it kept secret, the fact that our government is Masonic?
Yeah.
But what it did, it turned immediately the two branches of the Anglo-Saxon race, the most powerful people on earth, the most creative.
Against each other.
Against each other.
Yeah.
And we sided with our traditional enemies.
It's always been whites killing whites, hasn't it, Fred?
Yeah, and it was the same people cutting the heads off the blonde people in France. We sided with them. And the next war, what was it? The Civil War.
Uh-huh.
But to bring it, and what is it now? Immigration. Always divide.
Yeah.
No sense of unity.
Yes. Yes.
I'll say one thing else. That when they executed Queen Alexandra, Tsarina, the wife of Tsar Nicholas, in the Soviet Union, the Jewish communists who executed her shot her at point-blank range, and the other 11 members of their family, as she was trying to make the sign of the cross. And this woman was a saint. She treated Russian prisoners of war during the First World War as a common nurse in a military hospital. No special honors, although she was a Tsar of Russia. And they put a Mauser to her head and blew her brains out as she was making the sign of the cross. And I've seen a prayer book. The last thing that she made on God's earth in 1918, Jackie, and you know what it bears on its cover?
What?
A swastika. Put it together. 1918, before anyone had ever heard of the Germans and their movement.
The National Socialism.
She makes a prayer card in prison before she gets her brains blown out.
Wow.
And has a swastika on the cover.
Wow. No, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But you know what I thought of when you talked about as she was making the sign of the cross?
What?
Blowing her brains out, more blood sacrifices for Jehovah, the Lord of this world.
Of course. The same thing is going on with abortion. That's
yes.
How they gain their power.
It's no. Yes. Well, that, at least they believe that, don't they? That the energy, the life energy that is shed by another individual gives them that energy, that they can actually take in that energy as it's leaving.
I've seen object proof of that with my own eyes.
Of what?
In the Brooklyn Museum. It's the largest collection of Egyptian art in the U.S., and I was there to look at it. It was founded by the first investment banker, I think it was Jacob Schiff, donated all this Egyptian art. And that's where they had that terrible art museum with all the blasphemous art in it.
Okay.
It was called Sensations at the Brooklyn Museum of Art, and they had that blasphemous picture of the Virgin Mary.
I don't know about this.
Oh. They had a portrait of the Virgin Mary. I can't even describe it. Was surrounded by all kinds of blasphemous symbols. And they put up a poster to a child killer, to someone that, a British child killer. They put it up, it was 20 feet tall. And they were paying honor, just as you say, and I didn't realize it at the time. They were paying honor to these dark forces, and that's how they gained power. And the victim's last words as he was being killed by this child killer, you know what he said, Jackie?
What?
Please, God, help me. 10 years old, and the Jews in Brooklyn, God's chosen people, put up this poster to a child killer. And Jackie, I'll leave it at that.
Thank you for calling in, Fritz. It's so good to hear from you again, darling.
Yes, okay, bye, Jackie.
Thank you, bye-bye. Boy, that was heavy. And you know, it's interesting, when you get into a conversation like this, folks, it just... it takes us everywhere, doesn't it? It takes us in so many places. Anyway, thank you, Fritz, for your call. and the information that you shared with us. Folks, I'm going to get on with this report while we were on the half-hour commercial. I mean, at the half-hour, the 60-second break, I asked Fritz what he thought of this peak oil scam, and he said he knew nothing about it. And I think that it is not being talked about other than we're at peak oil, and it's going all over the Internet, and I knew intuitively that it was a scam. I knew that Michael Rupert was a scam, and I know that he's pushing this really heavily. In fact, he bought a very expensive ad in the Washington Post, not the Washington Times, the Washington Post. And, of course, he was saying that 911, I don't know that he says it was orchestrated. He just says it was allowed to happen. But the whole thing led people to believe that it's all because of oil, because we're at peak oil. We're running out of oil, folks. I want to get on with this. And I've got more of this that I want to share with you tomorrow night. And I know that sometimes it may appear that I'm beating a subject or our subject matter to death. But I want you to understand that it's just another scam, this peak oil. And I'm going to continue here. He was saying that the FTC was obliged, for the sake of appearances, to step in and pretend to launch an investigation against Shell Oil. And Shell's response has been to delay the closing of the refinery for a few months while it goes through the motions of pretending to find a buyer, because they're not evidently planning, they're not planning on leaving the plant open or selling it. They're closing it down, folks. Excuse me, in completely unrelated news, a July 31st LA Times report announced that profit at Chevron Texaco Corporation more than doubled during the second quarter, echoing the strong quarterly results reported by other major U.S. oil refiners this week. That's a quote. Chevron Texaco's profit jumped from $1.6 billion to $4.1 billion. Not too shabby. 3 days later, the Times reported that Unocal's earnings for that same quarter had nearly doubled from $177 million to $341 million. And if you want to know about Unocal and you want to know whether the war in Afghanistan was some response allegedly to 911, go to our website at sweetliberty.org, folks, and go into the section titled America's New War or War on Americans, and you will find a U.S. congressional hearing or committee meeting, I guess, with the CEO of Unocal. And they were saying, and this was several years back, that the best way that they can get the oil, he was saying, well, we can't take it through here, we can't take it through there, and the only place we can do it that would be financially feasible would be through Afghanistan. But we cannot do that until Afghanistan has a leader that is recognized by the world's other world's leaders. And so they took out Afghanistan's leader and they put in their little puppet in the place, and it was a former head or high person in Unocal Oil. I don't know if he's still the one there, but that's who they put in to be the new puppet ruler in Afghanistan. How does that grab you? It's amazing. And I had read an article about the fact that the guy was constantly surrounded by UN troops because he was so hated. He was in danger all the time he was over there. I don't recall his name either. All right. Let me finish here. Nobody should conclude from any of this, of course, that inflated fuel prices are attributable to rampant greed and the quest for obscene profits. No, clearly, rising fuel prices are a sign of peak oil. Just ask Mike Rupert and Mark Rabinowitz. Or better yet, bypass the flunkies and go directly to the scriptwriters at Halliburton and the Club of Rome. And then he said, speaking of Rupert, I thought I should, as a favor to you, Big Mike, point out what appears to be a slight inconsistency in your research methodology. I do this to provide you with an opportunity to correct the problem so that people don't get the impression you're the kind of guy who doesn't let the truth get in the way of advancing an agenda. While attempting to justify your unwavering refusal to focus any attention whatsoever on the so-called physical evidence portion of the 911 skeptics case, you have loudly proclaimed that pursuing the approach, quote, that approach, quote, will never penetrate the consciousness of the American people in a way that will bring about change. What will penetrate, from my experience, is taking non-scientific reports that most people instantly accept as credible. He's quoting Mike Rupert. What will penetrate, from my experience, is taking non-scientific reports that most people instantly accept as credible, whether news reports or government statements or documents, and merely showing that they are lies. That opens the wedge, and it removes any reliance upon expert or scientific testimony, which is typically used to confuse simple facts. End quoting. I trust that you remember penning those words, Mike, and I trust that you also remember penning these words, which you felt compelled to send on their merry way to my mailbox. Hold on a sec, folks. Sorry about that. I hope you didn't go away. Okay, he said, I hope also, wait, let me find my place. I trust also that you remember penning these words, which you felt compelled to send on their merry way to my mailbox. Mike Rupert said, quote, I challenge you to an open public debate on the subject of peak oil. I challenge you to bring, thank you, honey, I challenge you to bring scientific material, production data, and academic references and citations for your conclusions like I have. I will throw more than 500 footnoted citations at you from unimpeachable sources. Be prepared to eat them or rebut them with something more than you have offered. And quoting Mike Rupert, do you see the problem here? It almost sounds like, you see, he is saying this, speaking to Mike Rupert, folks. He said, do you see the problem here? It almost sounds like you're saying that there are completely different rules for conducting 911 research than there are for conducting peak oil research. By my reading, what you seem to be saying is that sometimes you want to avoid the scientific stuff at all costs and instead focus solely on demonstrating that news reports or government statements or documents are lies, because that will, quote, penetrate the consciousness of the American people. But at other times, you want to rely exclusively on all that expert scientific testimony, the kind that is, quote, typically used to confuse simple facts. And you want to pretend that the media reports and government attachments that you're citing are unimpeachable sources. I have to admit, that is all very confusing to me, but luckily, we have a seasoned, world-class investigator out there who knows intuitively, perhaps, which of the two completely contradictory techniques to employ in a given situation. The rest of us, I suppose, lacking invaluable LAPD training, can only aspire to such greatness. Michael Rupert was a cop, Los Angeles Police Department, LAPD. So, and then he's on another subject here, but it's the same thing, folks. I was taking care, this came from a place called Dave's Web or something like that. I'll get a website for you. He said, I was taking care of some important business the other day, and being a multitasking kind of guy, I was also idly leafing through a copy of one of Uncle John's bathroom readers. Now, Uncle John is not normally one of my primary sources of information, but I happened to stumble across the subject, that immediately caused, I happened to stumble across a subject that immediately caught my attention. Underground coal fires. I later conducted a Google search on underground coal fires to verify the information provided by Uncle John. Listen to this, very interesting, folks, and intriguing. He said, I learned that although underground coal fires are a common phenomenon, most people are completely unaware that they occur. How common are they? At any given time, thousands of coal veins are ablaze around the world. In China's northwestern province of Xinjiang alone, there are currently about 2,000 underground coal fires burning. Indonesia currently hosts as many as 1,000. Some of these fires have been burning for thousands of years. Burning Mountain Nature Reserve, for example, in New South Wales, Australia, has been aflame for an estimated 5,500 years. Other coal fires are of more recent vintage, often started through the actions of the notoriously destructive human species. But underground coal fires long predate mankind's proclivity for starting them, and many of the fires burning today are due to entirely natural causes. New Scientist noted in February 2003 that, quote, coal fires, coal seam fires, seam, S-E-A-M, coal seam fires have occurred spontaneously far back into geological history. New Scientist, February 14, 2003. Radio Nederland asked that geological evidence from China, added that geological evidence from China suggests that underground coal fires have been occurring naturally for at least a million years. And he has the sites here that he's citing where this information came from. I'll pass it up, folks. And how much coal, you may be wondering, do these fires consume annually? Well, no one can say with any certainty, but it is estimated that in China alone, some 200 million tons of coal go up in smoke every year in China alone. That's a hell of a lot of coal. More coal than China exports, in fact. In other words, the world's leading coal exporter loses more coal to underground fires than it produces for export. Very interesting, you say. But what does any of this have to do with peak oil? I'm glad you asked. Coal is, you see, a member of the same hydrocarbon family as oil and natural gas. And it is, like gas and oil, claimed to be a fossil fuel created in finite, non-renewable quantities at a specific time in the Earth's history, when the stars were, I'm guessing, in the proper alignment. And yet, this allegedly precious and limited resource has been burning off at the rate of millions of tons per year, year in and year out, for at least a million years. And probably much longer. This raises in my mind at least one very obvious question. How is it possible that nature has been taking an extremely heavy toll on the globe's fossil fuels for hundreds of thousands of years at the very least, without depleting the reserves that were supposedly created long, long ago. And yet man, who has been extracting and burning fossil fuels for the mere blink of an eye, geologically speaking, has managed to nearly strip the planet clean. It is not perfectly clear that this is a proposition that is absurd on its face. So much so that it is remarkable that the fossil fuel myth has passed muster for as long as it has. I think I read that sentence wrong. Let me try it again. Oh, is it not perfectly clear that this is a proposition that is absurd on its face? So much so that it is remarkable that the fossil fuel myth has passed muster for as long as it has. Nevertheless, that entirely illogical myth is the cornerstone on which an even bigger lie, the myth of peak oil, is built. Go figure. And then at the end here, he says, I have much more peak oil stuff yet to come, but for now I have to get back, to watching the Olympics. Okay, I'm not going to read that. It's only a paragraph. I'm going to stop here, folks. So what do you think about that, huh? So as the price of oil continues to escalate, wait until you hear about how many refineries are actually shutting down. It'll blow you away. And, you know, Mel told me this, my friend Mel, and I haven't checked it out, but he knows his history. But he said that there's oil, it has been said, that there's oil in Alaska alone, folks, beneath the tundra, I guess, that they won't let them drill, enough to keep the U.S. at its present usage for another 500 years at least, just in that one spot. I'm going to be back with you tomorrow night. I want you to please remember that the broadcast is listener-sponsored, and because of lack of interest of enough of our listeners, that by the end of this month, we will be ending this broadcast, unless something very drastic happens before then. We're $8,000 behind in our airtime bill, and we can't go on, folks. I'll see you back tomorrow night. Thank you for tuning in. God bless you, and good night.
You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the internet at firstamendmentradio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Be sure to visit the sweetliberty.org website. Thank you for your continued support, and stay tuned to firstamendmentradio.com.
The opinions expressed are the